So, La Havdil, as they say, a distinction to draw a line for a little bit from our happy celebration, because I do have another topic that I do need to spend at least a moment or two in discussion with you tonight. Now, I mentioned that tonight is Parshat Noach, the story of Noah and the Ark, and tomorrow morning, Isaac is going to read a passage from Torah for us, teach us the lesson that he learned from the story and its application to our lives today. I've been thinking about Noah and his experience. God tells us, the Torah tells us that God said to Noah, build an ark, and gave specifics, and Noah built the ark. It doesn't say how long it took to build the ark, or the details of what he was doing for all of those, I don't know, weeks or months or even years. There's a rabbinic midrash that says it took him 120 years to build the ark. Long enough maybe that other people should have been asking him about it, or that his neighbors should have wondered, what is that thing he's building? And that he could have told them and gotten them to repent. But Torah doesn't say anything about it. I do have to imagine, however, that at some point during all of those years, weeks, months that it took Noah to build the ark, that there probably were times of inclement weather. There must have been days with a few sprinkles or a rain shower or even thunderstorm. And I wonder what Noah thought each time when it started to rain. Did he think, wait, I'm not finished yet? Did he think, oh, maybe this is it? Each time that it rained, I imagine Noah got a little bit anxious until the skies finally cleared. Well, then, of course, the day did come and it rained and it didn't stop for 40 days and it flooded everything. I confess, I've been feeling a little bit like Noah these days, not meteorologically speaking, but I've been worrying about the steady drizzle of anti-Semitism in our society, the drip, drip, drip of anti-Jew hatred that we keep seeing and experiencing, and maybe a little worried that one day we could experience another flood. Let me be clear. I do not think that this is imminent. I do not think that this is inevitable. I do not think that this flood of hatred must come. But I am noticing that it is sprinkling more and more often. How many of you read or heard about music mogul Kanye West and what he tweeted out, right? He wanted to go DEFCON 3, whatever that may mean, on Jewish people, he wrote. He feels like the Jewish media and his Jewish lawyers and agents have been cheating him and manipulating him and others. And he repeated some of the standard canards about Jewish political and media control. Following Kanye's Twitter outburst this past weekend, how many of you saw the photos of the neo-Nazis displaying banners on a Los Angeles freeway? It said, Kanye was right about the Jews, is what it said, as they stood in a Nazi salute. Did you know that it wasn't too long ago, just in the last week or so, that Donald Trump had his own anti-Semitic statements lately, this time raising the specter of dual loyalty, another familiar anti-Semitic standard. Following a pattern actually from his presidency, he once told a group of Jews that they weren't loyal enough to Israel because they didn't agree with his policies about Israel. And he also, in front of a group of Jewish leaders, referred to Netanyahu as your prime minister, as if they were all citizens of the state of Israel instead of Americans. Did you hear this week that Josh Shapiro, who's a candidate for governor in Pennsylvania, was attacked by his opponent for attending and for sending his kids to, quote, a privileged, exclusive, elite school? This was a private Jewish day school and was taken to be coded language to the other candidate's supporters of anti-Semitism. The other opponent, who also, by the way, has a paid consultant with connection to white nationalists. Closer to home and a little more immediate, I don't know if it made your news feed, but last week at Robinson Secondary School, one of the local high schools here in our area, two boys' bathrooms had anti-Semitic graffiti in them, one with swastikas and one with the phrase, Jews will not replace us. This is one of our local high schools where we have about a dozen of our TBS students, including my two kids. All of this, all of this coming, the drip, 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 against the backdrop this week of the fourth anniversary of the shooting at Tree of Life in Pittsburgh, where 11 people were gunned down at a Shabbat morning. These, my friends, are a lot of intermittent rain showers. There was a good article in the Washington Post yesterday, I don't know if anybody saw it or read it, pointed out actually anti-Semitism is more complex than we might think. The ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, has an index that they keep of anti-Semitic attitudes in American society, the percentage of Americans that they think are anti-Semitic at any one time. Well, back in the 60s, it was at a high of about 29%, almost one out of every three Americans harbored anti-Semitic sentiments. By 2019, it was down to 11% of Americans, the lowest point it had ever been in 2019. And at the same time, we know the ADL tracks the number of violent hate crimes and anti-Semitic instances in America. And in 2019, the same year it was the lowest percentage of Americans, 11%, it was also the highest number of anti-Semitic instances in 2019, the same year that they had ever recorded. Highest number, that is, until last year, which broke the record. So it seems there are fewer people with anti-Semitic attitudes, but larger number of violent and public acts. Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL thinks that there is less shame in society today. So perhaps people feel that they can get away with saying or doing whatever they'd like. Friends, the truth is we know that anti-Semitism has always been around and taken different forms. There's religious anti-Semitism, the canard that the Jews killed Jesus. There is racial anti-Semitism, that Jews are an inferior people, inferior blood, inferior genes, and inferior race. There's economic anti-Semitism, which takes one of two forms. Either all Jews are raging capitalists, or we are savage communists, or both. Haven't figured that one out yet, but apparently it's possible. We know that anti-Semitism is often used as a political cudgel to curry favors with our core, with different sides' core constituents. From the left, anti-Semitism is often conflated with anti-Zionism and anti-Israel sentiment. People who think we Jews have all the money and all the power and are busy oppressing poor people and people of color. From the right, we have people who think that we Jews have all the money and all the power and are seeking to replace and oppress your average white people. So in an oversimplification, that is to say, the left thinks we are too white and the right thinks we aren't white enough. The ADL's Greenblatt commented on these two forms of political anti-Semitism. He said recently, attacks of the far right are like the hurricane bearing down on you right now. Immediate and deadly, we need to protect ourselves and our community from such lethal threats. But what also worries me is the anti-Semitism taking shape on the left, which is more akin in many ways to climate change. Slowly, subtly, but surely, the temperature is increasing. Funny, but not funny, that he's using weather metaphors also. So it's raining. It's raining, and maybe it's raining more frequently, or at least so it seems lately. Maybe it's raining harder in shorter bursts, or it's becoming more socially acceptable to rain. The metaphor only goes so far. But regardless of the unwieldy metaphor, I will tell you, I am not building an ark, at least not yet. And there are two important reasons why. First, this burst of anti-Semitism is not sponsored by our government. As a matter of fact, our government is actively working against it. This isn't government-sanctioned anti-Semitism like at Kristallnacht or in Soviet Russia or the Holocaust or autocratic Muslim regimes. In fact, the tools of government are actively working against anti-Semitism. It was not so long ago that the government issued its first ever report on domestic terrorism, which included white supremacists and white nationalists as threats to American security. There's anti-Semitism on both sides of the political spectrum, but not, at least not yet, entrenched in enacted government policies and programs. We do need to be vigilant against some of the folks who are out there running for election in this current cycle in various races around the country. But there are a good number of politicians who have spoken up and spoken out and denounced anti-Semitism, among all other hate speeches as well. And that's actually my second reason why I'm not building an ARC quite yet. We do have allies. We do have folks who are supporting us and are speaking up. You saw the statements of support in response to Kanye earlier this week from celebrities, from politicians, from the world of music and entertainment. There was a great statement by a company called MRC Entertainment. Anybody read that one? MRC Entertainment recently filmed a whole documentary about Kanye, and they decided to shelf it, to not release it. And their statement as to why, and to denounce him and his awful screed against Jews, was excellent. You should definitely find that. That's MRC Entertainment, as they repudiated what he said and what it all stood for. You also saw any number of companies cutting ties with Kanye, some of them not quite as quickly as we might have liked, but they all got there eventually at the end. People of goodwill are standing up, right? I don't know the experience here, but I suspect it was similar. My congregation in New Jersey, post Tree of Life 4 years ago, that Friday night, the following week, our sanctuary was filled, not just with our members, but from our partners in interfaith work, pastors and priests and imams and religious leaders from across the religious spectrum. I suspect that similar may have been true here at TBS. Again, maybe not as many as we would have liked, but there are more and more folks than we might suspect who will stand up with us against anti-Semitism. And so I don't feel a need yet to build an ark. I don't think a flood of anti-Semitism is imminent or inevitable. But like you, I will be keeping a watchful weather eye to the sky to see when and how often and how hard it rains. But I am comforted to know that we are not alone in watching the skies, that there are folks out there who will stand with us, hand us an umbrella, and be shelters with us. Let us all pray and all work clearer skies ahead. And together we say, Amen.